Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are honored to have someone who has been top advisor to RFK Jr. since 2016, James Lyons Weiler. Mr. Weiler, or Dr. Weiler, I guess it is CEO and director of the Institute for Pure and Applied Knowledge. He is editor-in-chief of Science, Public Health Policy, and the Law, a peer-reviewed journal. And as I said, I'm told by my friend in the Kennedy camp that he's the go-to guy for RFK Jr. on matters of science. We'll find out if he's going to be sitting here tomorrow, because that's the seat I'd like to be anywhere near that confirmation. Dr. James, welcome to the show. Are you going to be there tomorrow, whispering in the ear or anything like that?
Hey, Dom, thank you very much. No, I'm putting out wildfires in a couple of different states, holding down the fort in Pennsylvania and in Michigan. So I'm unavailable to be there, but I certainly hope for the best.
Okay. Well, it is going to be contentious. What do you make, given your position, knowing him over the years? This is the most, in some ways, I think, consequential area, given what he may, what he's already gotten into and some of the things we've already seen that are developing. The New York Post, of all people today, their editorial board says senators vote no to RFK Jr., quote, who's still a radical left lunatic, hazardous to your health.
Well, if you check their major source of revenue is pharmaceutical advertising, just like all major media outlets, mainstream media outlets have a bit of a conflict of interest in publishing that political position. Bobby has done nothing since I've known him, except for fight for bodily autonomy, personal rights to choose, specifically with respect to health issues, look out for the safety of children, women, pregnant women, men, adults, the elderly, over environmental toxins and their exposure through food, water, and medicine. Why in the world would anybody be against that? It really bends the mind to think that someone would not want someone who in that position who's willing to transform HHS into looking after human health and well-being. It's very strange.
Can you make it? I'm not sure this would be your purview, but you're a top advisor to him. I like a lot of the things he says, particularly in the food zone, for any number of reasons. These seem very doable. But the idea of not having pharmaceuticals advertised on TV, I'm on the other side of that. I do see it as a free speech, a choice issue. There are things you can do to put more truth into that if that's the issue, Dr. Weiler. How do you come down on that?
Well, I mean, there's only one other country that allows direct-to-consumer marketing of pharmaceutical products to their public, and that's New Zealand. The rest of the world really understands that messaging about drugs, about medical issues, is really probably best done in the doctor's office. It's not appropriate. I'm against direct-to-consumer marketing. It's not appropriate to see products that are online that are paid for, that the ads are paid for by mega billion-dollar corporations who will cut the funding of the news outlets if they run a story that goes against their interest. And so, you know, if you take a good, hard look at what that means, they say to you, here's this drug, here, if you go and talk to your doctor about this and see if it's all right. Patients then go to their doctor and they say, oh, there's a groundswell of support for this. But what about drugs that are not as profitable, but they're more effective, but the companies can't afford that kind of airtime? If the bottom line intervenes at every turn in medicine, and it truly does, it's overwhelming the number of filters of finding out who makes what money in between a patient's decision to take a drug or not, to take a vaccine or not. At every turn, it's money, 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 money. And if you're interested in the bottom line for pharmaceutical companies, you want to see their stock go up, that's one interest. But if you're interested in ending the chronic disease campaign, the chronic disease epidemic in the United States and around the world, we might want to get to some of the root causes. You know, a lot of the public doesn't know this, but there's a categorization of disease. There's a category of disease called iatrogenic illness. It's disease that's caused by medicine. And most people understand, yeah, one medicine will make you sick, and then mm-hmm. go back to the doctor, they'll give you another drug to make you better for the side effects. This is how we get compound polypharmacy on our elderly. The older you are, the more drugs you're on. I'm not taking any pharmaceutical drugs right now.
Well, let me intervene and say I'm not either. But does it feel, now you guys have been up against this, and I realize when you, it's like a cop, you know, sees crime all day. You've seen it as a scientist. He's seen it scientifically, et cetera, a big pharma. Is there anything you could say, though, of the efficacy of what big pharma has done to make life better? Or do you think it's so sullied now that maybe it's just outweighed by what you see on a daily basis?
I think most of the medicines that America take today are biased in favor of profitability. It's hard to tell specifically whether what we know about any drug that's on the market from pharmaceutical companies, or small or large, actually, you know, bears the fruit that they're said to bear. So to answer your specific question, I used to have asthma-induced allergy. It was horrible. When I had asthma, I couldn't breathe. And there was a steroid on the market called Becanase AQ, and it worked like a charm. And it was so effective, they took it off the market, right? I don't know why it's gone. I didn't have any adverse side effects. It seemed to work for me. I only used it during the allergy season. But it wasn't until I put myself through aluminum detox that my asthma went away and my allergies went away. The aluminum in my body came from a Tdap vaccine I took when I was 16 years old, and that set me up with a vaccine adjuvant, which activates the immune system. And I went to my grandfather's farm, and I baled hay, and I ended up with a severe hay fever and a mold allergy to boot. To this day, I haven't beat the mold allergy. If I walk into a room with mold, I can detect it. It's not a smell. It's a reaction. Okay. My body's reacting to it. So, yeah, there are drugs that are effective. The problem is, how do we tell the difference between the drugs that are super effective and the ones that are just maybe not so effective, or maybe they have side effects, but the pharmaceutical companies control the narrative? That's the problem.
Do you anticipate Ozempic, which I don't think the federal government ought to be supporting this, to come up tomorrow as something they may hang their hat on? There's a story out there today of a celebrity, a young woman, who did it to be thinner and now claims massive bone loss.
Well, yeah, that's one of the side effects. So there may be a clinical use for health for certain populations for these drugs, but they're not the magic bullet for weight loss, as it seems. A lot of what we learn about drugs and vaccines in particular come after, you know, we see 100,000 million patients use it, and then they start experiencing adverse events that were maybe too rare to find. And that's given. That you're never going to see a 10 million person clinical trial. That's part of the process of learning. But you know, the blockbusterness. I want the listener and you think about this. Viagra was the worst thing that ever happened to the pharmaceutical company, to the pharmaceutical industry. Why is that? It's a blockbuster drug. And after Viagra, everybody looked for blockbuster drugs. Look at what happens. They profit from the sale of the drug. They profit from the stock going up. Stocks go crazy and so on. instead of competing on efficacy and safety, they compete on marketability and profit. What do we do about that as a society? This is a discussion that we have to have. And enough people have enough chronic illness that we reached a critical mass where across the board, they said, we want Bobby working with Trump. I think that's why Trump won the election.
Well, I think it brought people into the tent. And if he is confirmed, I believe suburban moms who can go one way or another, you're exactly right, are going to come into the tent. The vaccine part of this, where would you come down tomorrow if they talk about the COVID vaccine? I see the efficacy. I think people should have had choice on this. I know some of the damage, particularly with males, myocarditis and things of that nature. But was it helpful in getting us out of that crisis?
I really think the discussion should be, why did pharmaceutical companies like Moderna and Pfizer and the FDA work so hard to hide the evidence of the adverse event through the clinical process, right? And the adverse events themselves are enough to raise an eyebrow to say, how is it that the FDA put out a warning that there is myocarditis risk 1 month after the review process by the CDC said that there was no risk of myocarditis? There's a serious problem with how these regulatory agencies work. CDC has a foundation called CDC Foundation, pharmaceutical companies. It's a not-for-profit run by our government. CDC receives money back through the back door through this organization, CDC Foundation, by donations from pharma. So does NIH. People that work at the NIH, and including NIAID, infectious disease, they're allowed to profit personally to the tune of $150,000 a year if they've worked on a project with pharma. This is absolutely biasing. And we have to have this discussion where we say, hey, listen, there's water under the bridge for COVID. Sure, there could have been better diagnosis. There could have been more accurate reporting on cases. But when it comes to the efficacy, how is it that when I took Pfizer's data and they said 95% efficacious, but I analyzed it with my data analysis skill set, and I included everybody who had COVID or was hospitalized or died in the analysis all the way from day one of the first exposure to the vaccine, I get 75% efficacy, but Pfizer published 95 because they excluded everyone until two weeks after the second dose. And so there are systematic ways that CDC and these other organizations and corporations have learned to bias the public viewpoint on vaccines. We have to have the discussion. Bobby's community welcomes tomorrow's discussion. We're looking forward to it. Many people have been working on this for a long time. They've been waiting for it. They may have vaccinated children. I do not. I'm simply interested in understanding things. I'm a scientist. I want to know, but I also want to reduce human pain and suffering through knowledge. That's what I've dedicated my life to.
Well, doctor, I certainly would invite you back after we see this play out tomorrow. I agree. I don't know if... I won't bring you into this. The senators are up to the task, though, to engage in what could be a moment that the American public clearly wants to drill down on these things. This should be a week-long kind of thing. One day on food, one day on vaccines, one day on the argument over the pharmaceutical industry and some of the things that you brought up today. I just hope they're up to it, because you're right. There are things that the American public is onto here, and they want better answers.
Thank you very much. I think we ought to have 4 years of Bobby at least doing this, and we can have those discussions, right? And then, and so when we're looking at this, the senators are very smart. They know their stuff, but many of them have to answer to the people that put them into office, as politicians do. The nice thing about Bobby is he's a very, very clear communicator, and he knows his stuff. He constantly surprises me with what a steel trap of a mind this man has. He is so that's why he's such a good lawyer, too. He has such an exceptional mind, and he has such compassion. And he's in it for the moms. He's in it for the children. He's in it for the people. And so that's why I support him. I'd support him in anything that he would try to do, because I know that it would be something in the right direction. And, you know, if you haven't called your senators, please call your senators, and I urge them to support Bobby Kennedy for HHS director. It's a simple phone call. It takes 2 seconds. We need that support. We need a uniform cry of hope. in the United States of America for a healthier future. Let's put an end to the chronic illness epidemic and find the medicines that actually are safe and effective. Find vaccines that can be made safer and effective. Find ways of doing regulatory science that don't involve conflicts of interest. All of that's gone when Bobby goes in. It's going to be shut down. There's going to be radical, revolutionary reform. It's not going to be painless. It's going to hurt. But at the other end of it, after 4 years, it'll be a tried and true process, and maybe we can have some faith in, you know, the CDC again.
Dr. James, thank you very, very much. I'd like to call on you again. Thanks for joining us today.
Anytime, Bill. Thank you.
Dr. James Lyons-Weiler here.